Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. This is part two of the interview with Katina Chichelis, who's joining us via Skype in Adelaide, Australia. We'll start out with Katina's quote.
The changes that humanity needs to make are deep and profound, and the opposite of the present paradigm that we are experiencing and have been living for a long time. We have to move away from the idea of disconnectedness, of ownership and profit. Away from the use and objectification of living beings, whether they are of human species or non-human. This is because accepted violence and slavery on one being will always embed the idea of dominance and control and will always take away the rights of all beings. It really is a circle and cycle of perpetuated fear and violence on all species, and this must end. And as you say, Marlene, there is only one law, that is do no harm.
We're listening to Katina Chichelis, a vegan activist in Adelaide, Australia. Thank you, Katina, Hello. For joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It's good to be here speaking with you.
This is a great honor, and I'm also happy that you have a full spectrum of experience in this world with being a retired lawyer, a Reiki practitioner, a flutist, a teacher, and there's something else.
Musician.
Yes, yes.
I think you said that, but a mother.
Yes.
I've always been an inquisitive person that really enjoys challenges.
And it's wonderful to have your beautiful music, a little bit of something, playing as we have this interview. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlene. That's something I wrote, in fact, in my student years as an avant-garde performance, which I performed myself. It's a live recording.
Nice, nice. And thank you for reading that quote. When I read your words, I thought, that's it. That sums it all up. And I really believe that this age of the vegan evolution revolution is the beginning of the end of misothery and misogyny.
Absolutely, Marlene. These words, people are becoming more aware of the word misogyny and the link with patriarchy and the ideas of male dominance and male superiority that we have been living out in our culture and society for thousands of years. But many people are not aware of the word misothery. Be rest assured that misothery, misogyny, racism, discrimination, prejudice, hatreds, are all connected and linked together and have the same common source. Misothery comes from two words, the hatred, misothery, of nature, of the wild. Misothery means a hatred of animals or a hatred of nature, and it comes from the Greek. It's linked with the idea of dominance and the idea of controlling nature, and doing to nature what man wants to do, and the idea that nature is to serve man, to serve humans. One thinks about what happened a very, very long time ago. Thousands of years ago, animal agriculture began, and we know that it began in the Middle East with the herding of and use of animals. This became the means of wealth and power for the men involved.
I first heard of misothery when I read the book Unnatural Order by Jim Mason. Excellent book, which explains it all.
Yes, I really recommend everybody read his book. I came across it the other day when I was researching more into the meaning of misothery. I think that he points out there that the whole idea of dominance, and we're talking about male dominance, and we've been living out male dominance in our society where women have been classed as second-hand citizens and only recently have gained the rights to vote and the right to education. Both religion and society have suppressed women into the role until recently as being servants and carers and baby producers. But the whole idea of misogyny underpins misogyny. That's what people need to understand. It begins with the idea of fear and hatred of nature and the wild. And when we look carefully at religion and we look carefully at the rules and the laws that man has made, and we can see very clearly the denial and destruction and the fear of the wild woman, the free woman, and that the free woman and nature has to be controlled and owned and dominated by man. And this comes from a fear and hatred of nature. And so we can see how misogyny underpins misogyny and all the other discriminations we have in life. Man wants to tame and own the untamable, the wild. And we see that also in the witch hunts. Women who may not have conformed in society, they were regarded as accused of being witches. Women who understood nature and herbal remedies were accused and killed as witches. We see that in laws made by man that women are meant to be virgins before marriage, or they are ostracized and killed even. This is all misogyny and misogyny. It's all linked together. And then we connect this to the animal kingdom, the non-human species. We see how man decided to control wild animals and breed them to suit their own purposes. And we see how they objectified the animals as things in order to do this. And you could buy and sell and barter with animals. And this extended to the buying and selling of women. So not only did men own herds of animals, they owned herds of women. Out of this psychology and paradigm arose the male patriarchal religions, which of course continued the and supported the male dominance paradigm, and that God has given the human male the right to do anything and everything to everything in nature. It comes out of the fear-based mentality of misogyny, leading to misogyny and ideas of domination. And while women are gaining equality, and in the Western world, far higher levels than in other parts of the world, the animals of this world are still experiencing and going through the misogyny and the worst horrors that one could ever experience out of their beingness, being objectified as servants, as objects for the use and pleasure and ideas of the human being to do with as they wish. I will go into more some of the animal practices that we need to be made aware of because they are kept hidden. And that is part and parcel of maintaining the idea of dominance and keeping the egocentric, arrogant ideas of control over other earthling beings. There is nothing loving, there is nothing kind, there is nothing humane in what we do to other animals. And I'd really like people to think about this. Let's look at it from another point of view. Do you think we would have wars? Do you think we would have murder and violence if we lived in a paradigm that regarded the slaughter and enslavement of animals abhorrent? Do you think a human being would ever hurt another human being in such a paradigm? Of course not. So it all begins with how we treat the other animals of this earth, not just our own species.
Exactly. Thank you, Katina. And I think that's very important for women especially to engage in critical thinking and to realize that when we don't want to be exploited or oppressed or dominated, then it is our responsibility to extend that same justice, those same rights to others, which would be the non-human animals, as well as anybody, human and non-human.
Absolutely, Marlene. No woman could expect to have rights and equality and freedom if she is at the same time inflicting the same dominance and unfairness upon other women, although they may be of another species. If one's actions are not loving and peaceful to other living beings, one cannot expect that to love and peace to be returned to you. It's not natural law. It's not possible. I mean, people hear about the law of attraction, and people learn about energies and positive vibrations, and what we put into our bodies count as much as what we think and say. So when men and women take in the substances from stuff that come from suffering and enslavement, those energies are working in every cell of their being, and this leads to a cycle, a continual cycle of disease, sickness, and energies of fear and energies of violence. And unfortunately, in our society, we're not taught these things. There's a huge gap in our education. We are taught many superficial things, but we're not taught about to think for ourselves in terms of the invisible, what works on an invisible energy on our lives and with the food we eat.
We're listening to Katina Chichelis, a vegan activist in Adelaide, Australia. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. This episode is about creating peace on this planet. This episode includes a snippet of my previous interview with Katina back in 2017, June 9th, 2017. I'm playing it again today, snippets of it, because of the serious condition that the world is in. In authentic veganism, the philosophy is, as we sow, we reap. So we'll continue on, and I'd like to take a little musical interlude. This is I Saw You Today by Barbara Helen in England, UK.
I saw you today. I saw you today. I looked into your eyes. I apologize. I won't turn away. I saw you today. I stood beside you today. I stood beside you today. We all saw who we were fighting for. We all felt the same way. I stood beside you today. We will stand for you. We stand with you, together as one. We see you, and we hear you. You only have one life. Now your life is gone. My heart broke today. If you all knew what the innocents went through, you feel the same way. My heart broke today. We will stand with you. We'll stand up for you. Together as one, we see you and we hear you. You only have one life. Now your life is gone, so, so wrong, so wrong. I saw you today. I saw you today.
I saw you today by vegan musician Barbara Helen. And here's a snippet of her song, No to Monsanto.
I won't turn away. I saw you today.
Thank you for tuning into Vegan Nation. After this song, we'll continue with the interview with Katina Chichelis in Adelaide, Australia.
No to Monsanto, GMO warning. You're gonna wake up one not so fine morning wondering where have all the bees gone? Wondering where have all the bees gone? Living in a landfill, plastic choking our seas, poisoning the food chain, profit and greed. Oh, where has all the sea life gone? Where will we go? How will we feel? What'll we do? 'Cause this is real, when all of the sea life is gone.
I find it abhorrent that people get stuck into a turkey, a dead bird, into their flesh, and they give thanks to their idea of their God, or simply just give thanks. If I raped you or I murdered you, but I gave thanks to my God for giving you to me so that I could do that violence upon you, do you think that makes any difference to the bird and to life? Not at all. That only serves to appease the consciousness, the conscience of the perpetrator. If I was raped and the man gave thanks to his God for being able to rape me, I find that even more abhorrent than the rapist who rapes without giving thanks. Because the arrogance, the utter arrogance of the person giving thanks for their perpetration of violence is far worse. So I think that we have to look at how we have been conditioned to think about things and start realizing that deep down it has all come from a fear-based paradigm. And so naturally every idea and action that comes from that paradigm is also wrong. And as I, when I quoted earlier from my quote, everything is actually quite opposite to what humanity needs to be doing on this earth. We need to be using our intelligence. We need to be recognizing our concepts of morality We need to be honoring love, and we need to be protecting our brothers and sisters, and that is the other animals of this earth, and nurturing nature. And the only way to do this is to realize we cannot continue abusing and using and objectifying the females of other species, killing the males of other species. It is destructive to our psyche. It is destructive to all the species upon the earth. It is destructive to the environment.
We're listening to Katina Tuchelis via Skype in Adelaide, Australia. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We'll continue our conversation with Katina Tuchelis, joining us via Skype in Adelaide, Australia.
Animal agriculture is a very ugly word. Again, it is objectifying of animals. The least any human being can do in this day and age is to go vegan. And to go vegan means to make oneself think, use your intelligence, look beyond what has been the paradigm, and understand that all creatures and animals are just like us. They love, they think, they feel, they want to live, they have families, they speak, they communicate. We have pets, so we know that they are just like us, and yet they are treated in the most horrendous manner. This goes again to the idea of misothery and the fear and hatred of nature, and controlling and abusing and removing the wildness. We've removed the wildness from these animals. They were wild once. They roamed the lands. They were intelligent living beings, and they were then selected by humans and selectively bred to have big teeth, to have lots of fat, to lay eggs. I'd like everybody to know that chickens in the wild laid at the maximum a dozen eggs a year, if that. Eggs are an ovulation of the hen. And just as women ovulate once every month. And then men have selectively bred these birds to lay eggs every day. The toll that it takes on their bodies is beyond words and extreme. In the natural wild, hens can live to 15 to 20 years. They only last a couple of years or a few years more in better conditions as egg layers. They're calcium depleted. They develop huge problems with eggs being stuck in their uterus. They develop prolapses. The industry practices, once you move into free range, they're de-beaked, and many birds don't survive that procedure. And many birds die soon after because they cannot feed. They're denied their motherhood. How can a woman consume eggs? She is participating in the denial of life and motherhood and freedom of that animal. Humans have objectified her so much, and her eggs, her babies, to think that they can just have this hen as a machine, whether it be in their own backyard or in a factory. And let me tell you, all farms are factories. There's no such thing as a factory farm. All farms are factories of animals. They're all as bad as each other. Some may be nicer, but they're all enslavement. They all involve misothery, misogyny, dominance and control and hatred and ugliness. So how can a woman deny the motherhood of all the animals that are farmed? In the males, 50% for every egg you eat, for every hen that's laying an egg. So this is even your backyard hen, when you go and buy a hen to have in your backyard. A male has been killed either by suffocation and throwing into huge bins. This is happening by the millions every day. By suffocation into bins, by grinding them alive down the conveyor belt, by drowning. And how can any human eat and participate in this once they learn about this. Hens are not the only mothers denied. You know, there's dairy, a perverse industry. They all are perverse. But let me just go through dairy so that women can be aware what they are acceding to. And I do not want to hear any woman saying she has rights if she becomes aware of the facts and continues to consume eggs or dairy. She doesn't deserve to have any rights because she's taken them from these other animals. A dairy cow can live to 20 years or more. They, in a dairy industry, they live only a few years, 3 years, 4 years maximum. Again, like hens, they are depleted due to the cycle that they have to participate in and the enslavement that they participate in. These are wild animals that were taken and bred to suit humans, human needs and desires. They're not needs, human desires. They used to roam for miles and miles free and have family and structure and society and community. Now they've been objectified. They're enslaved. Every baby cow was denied its mother, and every mother was denied its baby. The cycle that occurs is that dairy cows are impregnated every year and carry a baby for around 9 months. They are impregnated every year to produce milk. The milk doesn't just come out. And the baby is usually taken away at a day old, put into a hut or pen. The mother is denied the right to nurture and have a baby. Baby and child suffer atrociously. I mean, I shouldn't even need to say that. It's an abomination. Dairy is an abomination. And the mother cows, their teats are so huge that many of them collapse from the weight of them and can't go on and become, after this cycle of pregnancy and huge teats and stress and suffering, they break down and many become downer cows, what are called downer cows, and they just collapse. The industry practices with dairy include dehorning, udder flaming. Udder flaming is a practice that's needed because dairy cows with their huge teats get infected teats all the time, and they actually use a blowtorch on the cows to try and control the infection, the mastitis. As I said earlier, they don't have any rights to having a baby. The babies are taken away and fed soy formula. And for those who think that organic or free range or is any better, no, the practices are still the same. The cows are still put on rape racks. That's the industry term, rape racks, because that's what they are, and raped and inseminated.
We're listening to Katina Tchelis, a vegan activist, joining us via Skype in Adelaide, Australia. To hear part one of Katina's interview, please visit the Vegan Nation Archives, vegansradio.com. This concludes our Vegan Nation special on ending misothory, misogyny, and slavery. Thank you, Katina. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. My pleasure.
Much thanks to Katina Tchelis, and also much thanks to vegan musician Barbara Helen. And thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene Yaddo wishing you a good day. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.